Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two, live, ready to roll, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Terry Bradshaw, 5 or 6 minutes, they tell me. Joy Taylor's joining me. Joy, how are you?
Great.
So I do herd hierarchy throughout the season, and then in the off season, I kind of wait for things to set up. So we've had all the coaching changes, we've had all the free agent signings, and we have had all the draft. Okay, so now I think I can come out and say, this morning, this is what it feels like. Now, we're going to have camps and OTAs. We're going to get reports on rookies being over their head, rookies ready to play. We're going to get injuries. So I'll do two or three more of these. But this is my first herd hierarchy based on coaching staff hires, free agency, and the draft, which some teams, Rams had a weird draft, Cowboys draft, a lot of question marks, Chargers draft was unbelievable, Miami's draft unbelievable, so here we go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now, let's go!
The top 10 NFL teams according to college. Number 10.
I'd say Green Bay. I didn't like their draft. They reached for a corner. They have Aaron Rodgers. It's a well-run operation, but there's a lot of animosity. They did not add any notable free agents. What did they get out of the draft that can help them this year? Amari Rodgers, third-round wide receiver, but Aaron doesn't throw to guys he doesn't know generally. I think there's animosity in the building, a lot of tension, a lot of noise, but I give them the respect of a top 10 team, but I don't like what I hear or see.
Number 9.
I'm going to do the Ravens. I liked them last year. I like them this year. They had a weakness, wide receiver. They went and attacked it. They brought in Sammy Watkins. They drafted Rashad Bateman. That's what they needed to do. Also added to their offensive line, got Kevin Zeitler and drafted an offensive lineman early. So at least they know their weaknesses. Can Lamar Jackson play from behind? Is he as good as Josh Allen and Mahomes? I don't think so. But I like him a lot. I respect him a lot. I got him 9.
Number 8.
Rams. I didn't love their offseason. Yeah, they got Matt Stafford, but they lost John Johnson, a great safety, Troy Hill, a corner, Austin Blythe, their starting center, Gerald Everett, a very dynamic tight end. They're good. You can tell from their draft. They're infatuated with wide receivers and speed. They think they're a Super Bowl team. They just went out and tried to find the fastest guys on the planet who've ever played football. So they're in the Super Bowl bubble, but I didn't love their draft. And I thought they're off season. You get Stafford, but you lost some pieces I like.
Number 7.
Chargers. I think they had the number one off season, according to me and according to Pro Football Focus. Melvin Ingram, Derwin James, two of their top three defensive players come back off injury. Corey Linsley, the number one rated center, comes over. Rashawn Slater, many people thought he was the best tackle in the draft. I think their roster is stacked. Herbert looks like a star ready to explode. This team is ready to roll. My only question, why I have them down at 7, because I think you can make an argument after the draft and free agency. They got a top 4 or 5 roster. I just don't know if Brandon Staley's a head coach. We'll wait and see.
Number 6.
49ers. I may have them low here. It's really based on Jimmy Garoppolo. They get George Kittle back, Jimmy Garoppolo back, Nick Bosa back. That in itself is a really good football team. They also went out and did. They went and said, what do we do well? O-line and run the ball. And they got more of it. Alec Mack, the center. They went and drafted Trey Sermon, a running back. They went and got Aaron Banks, another offensive lineman. So they fortified what they're already really good at. O-line, run the football, empower. To me, that's about empowering Trey Lance. If he eventually plays this year, they went and doubled down on their O-line, which was already good. They doubled down on their running backs, which were already strong.
Number 5.
Cleveland. Probably have them a spot too high. I thought they had an amazing offseason. Here's my concern. They could have 8 to 9 new defensive starters. Depending on how their schedule falls, it could be a rocky September and early October. But they went and attacked their secondary, which was a mess last year. And remember, they get a couple of guys back. Greedy Williams, Grant Dilpit are guys they drafted in the secondary, super talented, but had injuries. So we don't even know how good they are. So this is a great roster. I would argue after Tampa could be the best roster in the NFL. Really young and new faces back end could make it a sluggish September, though.
Number 4.
The Seahawks went 12-4. Can we remember that? And they got better offensively. New OC. They went and got Gerald Everett. He'll be their best tight end. They went and got a starting left guard, Gabe Jackson. They went and got another receiver. So let's not go crazy here. This is a 12-4 football team. Russell Wilson got more good pieces. They also went and drafted a corner. That was another weakness. So this remains a top 5 or 6 roster. The offensive line is not as bad now as everybody thinks.
Number 3.
Buffalo. I like everything they've done for the last 5 years. I really do. I love this organization. Their issue was they needed a little more pop offensively. They got running back Mac Breida and Emmanuel Sanders. They also need a better pass rush. What were their first 2 picks? Pass rushers. I just trust the front office and the coach. I like Buffalo. They went and went. They got a little more explosive on offense and got a pass rush.
Number 2.
Kansas City totally rebuilt their offensive line. Plus, they got humiliated in the Super Bowl, which has a nice way of invigorating offseason workouts. Orlando Brown, Kyle Long, Joe Tooney went and got the best center in college football. They already had a good offensive line, but they said, we're rebuilding this puppy. They not only have the best offensive line, they now have one of the deepest offensive lines.
Number 1.
I'll just give it to Tampa. They return all the coordinators and all the starters from the team, so they would be my number 1 team. I think that's just kind of an automatic. Now, there are teams I like, Miami, but I think I put them at 11 because I just don't know what I get from Tua. But we got a lot of good teams in the NFL. As you can tell, Green Bay is very good. I put them at 10. I just think there's too much tension and animosity, and I can't imagine what OTA and camp's going to be like. So I don't know. I think the noisier a team is in the offseason, the less I like them. And Bradshaw's noisy, but I like him. Terry Bradshaw, the Hall of Famer, 4 Super Bowls, is now joining us.
Noisy.
I got the damn season already mapped out, Bradshaw. I got all my teams I like. I got everything all set up.
I know. I got to tell you something, Colin. That's impressive. I'm sitting here listening to you name all these people, and I don't even know all the head coaches yet. And I'm like, man, this guy's sharp. That's why you're making the big bucks. You work every day. You got a full-time gig.
Yeah.
And I came in, you know, I've been out on the seats. We just picked okra last week, and we're out on the highway. We got a big stand there, and we're selling stuff, just trying to get some cash. Been rough.
Well, let me say this. You made news yesterday because you said, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You said Aaron comes off a little weak. So I'm going to listen, I rarely disagree with you, but I want to say this first, and you react to it. That we live in a time now, Terry, where you can't touch the quarterback. The whole league is built. All the rules now are quarterback. Even Belichick looked lost last year when he lost a quarterback. Don't you have to in 2021, Terry? Don't you have to pamper a little bit the quarterback? The whole league now is built around. You used to be able to have great running backs and an average quarterback, and we'd go, boy, that's a Super Bowl team. If you don't have a quarterback now, Terry, we just kind of cancel you. We don't even talk. So do you have to baby Aaron a little?
No, I don't think so. I disagree with that. I do think that our superstar quarterbacks, our superstars, period, feel a little bit empowered by their fame and certainly by their fortune. And I do believe that while Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal. Look, he's an incredible player. But I could sit here and tell you right now, he has probably the worst footwork I've ever seen for a starting quarterback. I mean, I was talking to John Zarnecki this morning, and I said, he's an amazingly accurate. He protects the football. He puts up monster numbers. But his footwork is all over the place. And I don't know if that's because he got hit a lot. He's out of position and doesn't trust his lineman, very seldom steps into a throw. Pretty impressive, actually. Yeah. But I do believe they are a little bit pampered. A lot of coaches would say, you know what? He deserves to be pampered. He's this, he's that. And I say, look, you signed the contract. You've got a couple of years left on that. If you want to be like Tom Brady, play out your contract and then move on. But in this case, you can't force Aaron Rodgers coddled maybe too much. He has no right to want to get the GM fired. What right does he have? No more right than I have to call Eric Shanks and say, tear my contract up. I had a really good year. And you go, well, you've got 4 years left on it. Yeah, but I had a really good year. And I'm Terry Bradshaw, and I'm a superstar. I don't believe in that. You know, I'm old school. You know that. And I just think these players are just, look, he wants to go to the West Coast. 49ers, they eliminated him from that. He's not going to San Diego, and he's certainly not going to the Rams now. I don't know where he can go because they're going to have a cap hit there in Green Bay that's monstrous. And I'm support Green Bay here. Make him come back. You know, make him come back to you. Don't go to him. Make him come back to you and answer for it. Or he can retire and move on and do Jeopardy, whatever it is that he wants to do.
But by the way, that retirement thing is interesting.
Yes, it is.
Now.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, in your day, you didn't make the money that they do now. He's made $1 zillion. So, let's say you had $100 million in the bank account or whatever Aaron has.
Right.
Could you have retired with only two Super Bowls or one or two if you just, you know, Chuck Nolan, he was tough on you. You didn't get pampered.
Right.
They were drafting Mark Malone. Noel was yelling at you all the time.
Cliff Doubt. They brought him in from all over the place.
Could you have, if you only had one Super Bowl or two and you were just tired of it and you had a lot of money in the bank, could you have retired early?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? You know who you're talking to here? If I had $100 million in the bank and I'd won one Super Bowl and I had all these disagreements with the head coach or the front office and I've had a belly full of it and they're not doing what I want them to do, absolutely I could retire. I got $100 million in the bank. But, hey, listen, 95% of Americans don't understand this talk. Listen, 95% of the people in this country who keep this country going don't understand I want to go somewhere else. I'm not happy in Green Bay. They didn't get me a wideout. Well, weren't you the MVP in the league last year? Yes, and I've been the MVP three times now. But I'm not happy, and I want to go somewhere else, or I want that general manager fired, or I can't believe they drafted a number one last year at quarterback. I mean, that just ticks me off. I don't understand that kind of thinking. I'm sorry. I'm just a little bit old school there. If he doesn't want to play for Green Bay, retire. Move on. Because you know what? When Brett Favre left, we all said, oh my God, the sky is falling. And around here comes Aaron Rodgers. And it wasn't falling. And now he's going to leave. And then who's next? There's always somebody else. Colin, I don't know why we have to coddle these guys so much. Terry Bradshaw says anything about a superstar quarterback, I'm jealous or I'm just stupid. or they come up with all these. He must have been drinking, you know? And I probably was. But it doesn't make any sense to me why you feel empowered. Why do you feel empowered just because you are in Green Bay and you're Aaron Rodgers and you've accomplished all this? Hey, my friend, I want to remind you something. Tom Brady played his contract out. Tom Brady's won 7 Super Bowls. Last time I looked, Aaron, you've won 1. There you have it.
Yeah. You know, all these young quarterbacks come in. And it was different in your day. You didn't have 7-on-7 camps when you were 9 years old and 10 years old. These guys now, they have a zillion throws. By the time they're 12, they're all ready to play.
I know.
So, but I do look at some of them, and I think they can win games now. You know the guy I feel sorry for? That Zach Wilson kid from BYU. Because, first of all, Terry, that division, Brian Flores, Sean McDermott, and Belichick are 3 of the top 4 defensive coaches in the league. It's a bad O-line. They want him to play day one. I look at that and I think to myself, when you went to the Steelers, did you have to start day one? What were the expectations? Was there a lot of pressure?
Oh, golly, it's back when we were in leather helmets. I don't know what. Were we even on television back then? I started day one, but I wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And Colin, I agree with you here. I liked Zach Wilson a lot, and he's such a nice kid. He's such a nice kid that I'm even saying maybe he's a little bit naive. Maybe he's like me because he's going to New York, and he is a kid that's probably going to struggle, and you know what's going to happen. They're going to start screaming, And how well does he handle adversity? How well can he put up with the media and all the distractions of why aren't you this and why aren't you that? And he can't go on, he can't get in front of the reporters and go, well, my offensive line's not very good. My wide receivers aren't very good. Oh, and by the way, I don't have a tight end either. Oh, and running game? Well, we don't have a running game. I mean, I really feel for this kid. I hope I'm wrong. I've talked to his father. His father's a fabulous man. They're a wonderful family. And I just think he's going to get beat up, and we're going to find out how tough he is. I hear he's really, you know, he's really got the football acumen down. But I'm going to find out. You got to be tough as all get out on the inside to make it in this league. And New York are toughing you up for sure. I like him a lot. I don't know what he weighs right now, but by the time the season's over with, you can probably deduct 25 pounds because he's going to be running for his life.
Terry Bradshaw is joining us. You know, Terry, it's a different world where, you know, expectations, media, noise, all this stuff. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. Oh, I was talking to Michael Irvin. I said, God, you and Joe Namath are lucky there wasn't an iPhone. And Michael is always funny. Michael says, forget the iPhone. He goes, I couldn't get out of trouble in the 11 o'clock news era. Forget the iPhone here. I've been in trouble every 15 minutes. And I look at you and these young kids. I'm always kind of amazed, Terry. Most of these young quarterbacks are so mature. They really are. Were you mature at 21? What were you like?
No. Listen. I was so naive, so immature. Listen. If I came out today out of Louisiana Tech, I would probably be a fifth or sixth round draft pick. I would not be the first pick in the draft. I was no way was I ready to be a starter in the National Football League. Between my ears, physically, yes, but I had to learn so much about the media. And listen, you're right. There's two or three reporters I had to deal with. I can't imagine what these kids are going through with. When you come out of Florida, when you come out of Alabama, like Mac Jones is doing, when you come out of these big programs, you're on television all the time, you're constantly being interviewed, you go through a little bit of duress while you're performing, maybe not. Most of these big-time quarterbacks we have today have never been criticized in the NFL. I'm always jealous of a guy like John Elway, who was adored. Dan Marino, I mean, he's worshipped in Miami. Dan Fouts, I always say, God, what would it be like to do that? But then again, I look at myself and I say, well, I had to grow up. And I will give Chuck Noll credit for this. He put me in tough situations, and I very easily could have just disappeared. And then I finally, and I told my agent, Ira Stahlberger, I said, you know what happened? I got downright nasty. I got downright mean and nasty. And I, inside, emotionally, I just hated everybody. And I just took it out on everybody. They didn't know it, but that's what motivated me. That's what got me. That's what saved me in the NFL. Because if I hadn't done that, Colin, I was out. I was gone. I was not ready, not ready at all. Most of these guys, you're right. I don't know about the guy at North Dakota State that went to San Francisco. I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about him. He's the only one I don't know anything about. I like Travis that went to Tampa Bay out of Florida. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
So, and there's a kid that's already been through every bad thing that can happen for a kid. Never starting in high school, never starting and walking on at Florida. Now look at me, went to the second round of Tampa Bay. And I know a little bit about him. And I'm saying, now that's the kind of guy I like, a guy that's been through it and made, you know, and survived it. You got to go through you got to go through the trenches in this league. You got to struggle. Even Brady, when he was drafted in the, sixth or seventh round, went right to Mr. Kraft and said, hey, you know, you're going to be glad you drafted me. He had a chip on his show. He used that to his benefit, and it made him tough. You got to have that to play in the National Football League, especially at quarterback.
I can't believe you were ever mean. You're a big jar of cookie dough now. You're just an old sappy.
Oh, I'm no. Hey, listen, I am a sugar coat. I am a baby doll.
Yeah.
There's no question. But Colin, I say one thing, and the world comes on top of me.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Well, I guess. I mean, What's wrong with that?
That's right.
You asked me a question.
Yeah.
I got opinions now.
Hey, listen, if you were a backup for Tampa Bay in the 70s, nobody give a rip. But you got a bunch of rings, so everybody gives a rip. That's the good news.
Oh, and by the way, since I'm being honest, what happened to the beard? I thought you really looked really good. Now it's gone.
Nope.
I meant to say what?
The mustache,
it's gone.
Mustache looked terrible. Terry, it looked terrible. It was you know what? I looked in the mirror one day and I thought, I wouldn't want to be friends with you. And I thought, I got to get rid of it.
Hey, listen, the job you got, nobody wants to be your friend anyway.
That's enough, Bradshaw. Get out of here. Terry Bradshaw.
Send me my money.
All right. See you later, Terry Bradshaw. Joy asked me that this morning, too. She would say, what happened to your mustache? One morning, I literally looked in the mirror and I'm like, nope, don't like that guy.
I got used to it. But now when I see playbacks of you with the mustache,
I look scruffy.
Like, it's
sideways.
It's not your look.
I look like a hitchhiker.
You are exaggerating how unruly it was. It was not that unruly. It was the most kept mustache ever.
All right, good stuff. Bradshaw was great. Rashawn Slater of the Chargers, new left tackle, he was so great after the draft. These kids, it's those Northwestern kids, you know what I mean? It's not a football power. And all of a sudden now they got good football players. They all come out of there.
He was so excited.
Oh, he was so great.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on FS1, the stars of NASCAR go old school with a throwback race from Darlington. Catch some of the most iconic rides as they hit the track for the Goodyear 400. It all starts at Sunday at 3:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. And it's FS1's Throwback Week celebration continues tomorrow right here on The Herd.
Good stuff. Terry Bradshaw stopped by, Rashawn Slater, Chris Broussard coming up this hour. Joy Taylor now with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herdline News.
Tensions are very high right now between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. There's plenty of reports saying he wants out of Green Bay.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams, wide receiver, seemed to weigh in on those rumors yesterday. He tweeted,
what?
Gotta appreciate what you got while you got it.
Whoa.
And Aaron Rodgers liked the tweet.
He liked the tweet.
He liked it.
Because I thought it meant that Devontae was saying, Aaron, you better appreciate me while you got me.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
He's saying you should appreciate Aaron while you got him.
I think so.
Because that can be taken both ways.
It could be taken, or it could just be, you know, him just.
Aaron is,
it's something personal he's dealing with.
Aaron DMs a lot of people. I know like 5 people that have been DM'd by Aaron. Now another one, Schlereth. He's very DM-y. He likes to DM. I don't DM a lot. You know what? You have to be very careful. Like, I DM people, like young broadcasters all DM and say, hey, you're kicking butt, fist bump. But if I do it, it's mostly to guys because I don't want anybody to get.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, and I just like, because I occasionally say, hey, great job. You're doing a great job. Then I always think, I did it once or twice and I thought, I don't know if I should do that.
Yeah, the problem with DMs is similar to text. If you're like texting with someone that doesn't know you well, they maybe not don't know your tone.
That's right.
You know, you kind of have to like overemphasize things because you don't want to sound very cold.
Aaron's on DMs.
He's very DM-y.
He's very DM-y.
I think I'm going to steal that. He's very DM-y.
He is.
Well, look, I'm firmly on Aaron Rodgers' side. In this
you
situation.
Are. You're all. I am 70. I'm 80% Aaron here. You're 100%.
Well, I hear where Terry Bradshaw is coming from because he grew up in a different era and had a different experience in the league. But I am in the camp of things change and the way that business is done changes.
Right.
And it's not just the way that the league has changed. The world has changed. There are avenues in which to make money that never existed before.
That's right.
And not just some money. Millions and millions of dollars.
I'm giving up this show and doing Twitch from this point forward.
I mean, Dak Prescott made $50 million in endorsements last year. 50. So you have more leverage. Anytime you have money and you have your finances are in a comfortable space, you have more leverage with your job because you can say, like, listen, my money is set. I'm more concerned about this than that. And Aaron is in that situation as well. He's obviously made a ton of money and it will continue to make money outside of football. So it's not really just about money. And I don't understand why it's so unrelatable, actually. I think all of us have worked at a job where we've had a problem or an issue with our boss, or we feel like we're very valuable and we're not being appreciated.
Yeah.
That's not just an NFL starting quarterback thing. Most people get into a situation where they feel like they're not being appreciated.
Right.
And furthermore, with Aaron's situation, to Schlereth's point earlier, he is somebody that covers warts. For years, the Packers have leaned in on Aaron's talents, not provided him with the defense that he needs, not provided him with skill position weapons, and completely leaned on him doing all of the winning. And now when he wants some say or he feels disrespected, it's like crazy town. Like, you are perfectly fine using his talents and
you know,
leaning in on that. And
you
now
know,
you're upset that he is feels like he is owed something?
No, I mean, the Packers remind me a little, and I'm not taking a shot at ESPN, but they remind me a lot of ESPN. ESPN's thing is always, we're ESPN, we give you a big microphone, we're not going to give you a blank. That's why so many people leave. Very few people in the history of Fox have left for there. A lot of their people have left for here. Why? We are much more of a Seahawk, Ram, Cowboy, deal-making, consider very pro player. The Packers and ESPN are, listen, this is how we do business.
Right.
We're not mortgaging the future. Our brand's very good, and the brand is bigger than the human. And Favre at the end was upset with him, and Rodgers was upset with him, and Corey Linsley's a fifth-round pick. You paid him nothing, becomes a Pro Bowler. You won't keep him. That's how they do business.
And they're always good, and they're always relevant, but they can't argue that they're always great.
No, they don't win enough championships for the talent. There's no disputing that.
Right. So how you do business is fine. But the results should reflect,
by the way,
how you're doing business.
Okay, you're great, Tampa. Do you know that in the last 15 years, or you're great, Green Bay, Tampa and Green Bay have the same number of Super Bowls in the last 10 years? I mean, so again, and by the way, Tampa's favored to win this year, and Green Bay, I don't know how this morning anybody could consider Green Bay in the top three or four Super Bowl favorites with all their disharmony.
Yeah. So Jimmy Garoppolo's time in San Francisco is likely winding down thanks to them drafting Trey Lance third overall. But Kyle Shanahan isn't giving a timeline for when the switch will be made. He said on the Rich Eisen show that he still considers Jimmy G the starter, but he won't rule out Trey Lance seeing the field as a rookie.
Jimmy's definitely our starter right now. And right now there isn't competition because I don't believe Trey would be in a position to compete. Jimmy is too good of a player. He's got too good of a grasp of our offense. I'm not going to sit here and say I'll never play a rookie quarterback, and I'm not going to sit here and say I will play him. That's kind of up to him. When he's ready to compete, which that doesn't mean he tells me, that doesn't mean I tell him, hey, we'll all see it. And I think it'll start with me, but it'll go to the coaches, it'll go to the players. And guys know when a guy's ready to compete with a starter, and you kind of get that vibe.
I don't feel like there's a lot of pressure on Trey Lance to get
no,
out there.
No, God,
right
no.
Away.
I mean, really, if you told me one thing about the Niners, I would say 12-win team. If you just said one thing, Jimmy stays healthy for 15 of the 17 games, I'll even give you 2 weeks off, I'd be like, okay, this is a 12-win team.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, they had a ton of injuries last year. It wasn't just Jimmy.
Bosa, Kittles.
I could probably need to look this up, but like they might have had the most injuries to their starters around the league. I mean, we would put the graphic up. It was like 17 guys at one point. So
yeah,
they're going to be better just based off the fact that they are going to be healthier next year. But even if Trey Lance does end up seeing the field sooner than we think because Jimmy G is injured, they're in that grace window now. Like, you drafted a rookie quarterback. We know how much Trey Lance has played in college. So there shouldn't be massive expectations. I think the fan base is comfortable with it not being a season where you're necessarily a contender if Jimmy isn't healthy. You've just bought yourself a lot of grace in taking Trey Lance at that position. So Russell Westbrook made history last night. He had 14 points, 21 rebounds, and 24 assists in the Wizards' 154 scores. Insane. 154-141 win over the Pacers. Mm. This is only the third time a player has had a 10-20-20 triple-double in NBA history. Westbrook has two of them. Wilt Chamberlain has the other one. This was also the 178th triple-double of Westbrook's career, which puts him three away from Oscar Robertson's record of 181.
How many titles does he have? How many how about one number? What's his title count?
He's guaranteed to average a triple-double this season for the fourth time in his career. No other player has had more than one such season.
There's a lot of good numbers there. I'd like to have a one under the championships.
Well, look, I think I understand where you're coming from, but I also think it is important to appreciate great talents.
All right.
And
I appreciate
he
it.
Always makes the regular season interesting.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that.
He's must-watch TV.
He's very, you got me on that. He's very entertaining. I'm not denying it. He's very popular. Very popular.
I think players have different careers. Like, we can point to a lot of guys who have had unbelievable seasons, unbelievable careers,
yeah,
unbelievable legacies, and they did not win a championship.
Listen, I'm zany. I like winning.
I also like winning, but I can appreciate great talent as
By the way, Wilt was a flake too.
I don't think Russell Westbrook is a flake at all. He's not a flake.
Well, he's very, my best friend's the ball.
Yeah, that's the opposite of a flake.
What if I said this? My best friend's the microphone.
I would say you are obsessed with your job.
I would say I was a weirdo.
Well,
if
obsession does tend to lean that way.
Okay, hi. Oh, what are you doing today for lunch? I don't know. We'll go out and have some champagne.
Look.
That would be not odd.
Russ has several years left in his career. He may still win a championship. I understand your
If your best friend's that table tomorrow, I got to go to management.
I don't know what the table is going to do to serve me. The microphone might be better.
Oh, I'm being obnoxious. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd
I hope you were done. I don't
news.
Even know if you were. I was just moving.
I was. Sorry.
All right. Okay, fine. Well, the best friend's my microphone. I don't pay attention to people. Bruce Sarge around the corner. He loves Westbrook. Oh, brother.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's not waste any time. There's some fascinating NBA stories to talk about, and Chris Broussard is joining us live. All right, let me go right through them. First of all, Lakers won last night. I don't know what to take of it. I think they're in a little trouble. I don't think their chemistry's good. LeBron's been bitter all year because he got a condensed season. He didn't get an off season. He's in a bad mood. Now he hates the play-in tournament. Do you take anything from them beating Denver last night? Does it mean anything?
I've got concerns about them, but my goodness, not like you. I mean, you just ran down the laundry list of the problems with the Lakers. Look. It boils down to one thing for the Lakers. LeBron James' health. Two things. I'll give you the second one as well. LeBron James' health, number one, obviously. I agree totally with what LeBron said Sunday night. If he's healthy, it doesn't matter where they're seated. I'd rather be the eighth seed or even the ninth seed and have to win the play-in round with a healthy LeBron James than the third or fourth seed and he's not 100% or 95% or whatever. So that's the number one challenge. But if he's healthy, secondly, is Anthony Davis. All right, Anthony Davis, last night was a step in the right direction. He has not been the guy that he was last year at all this season. Even before the injury, he wasn't playing up to his standards. He's been worse than that since he came back from injury. But last night, he hit the big shot at the end of the game. So that was a step in the right direction. But look, they've got three things that if they work out, scare everybody in the Western Conference. Number one, playoff LeBron. So assuming he's healthy, he's there. Two, Anthony Davis playing near the top of his game. And then three, defense. They are an excellent defensive team, one of the top two or three in the league, and they maintain that without LeBron and AD. So when you do those things, and they've got some decent shooters as well, then you're going to have a shot. So if LeBron's healthy, I'm still high on the Lakers' chances of getting to the finals.
Listen, one of the great stories, I think, in the league this year, it's fun, is the New York Knicks. Now, I think offensively there's limitations, but when Julius Randle was a Laker, they didn't know what to do with him because the Warriors were hitting all these threes, and they were trying to duplicate the Warriors, and he was like Zion. He gives you twos. He gives you effort. I don't know if they're built for the postseason, but I kind of buy him, right? The way in which they play, R.J. Barrett now is a real player.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, early in the season, even halfway through the season, I was making fun of Knicks fans. Because here in the New York area, people aren't even thinking about Brooklyn. All right, it's all about the Knicks, the mediocre Knicks at that time. But I've seen the light. I like what they're doing. Colin, over their last 39 games. So people are talking about this stretch where they've won 12 of 13. You can go basically 40 games, and they have a record. They won 66% of those games. That would be the second best record in the East over 82 games. So they have been playing really good basketball, and they're an old school team, not surprisingly, with Tom Thibodeau. But they defend, all right? They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. They play hard. So nobody wants to play them because they're just gnats and they get after it and they hound you and they bother you and all that. They go deep. And offensively, they shoot the three well. They're 39%, one of the top five in the league. But they don't shoot it a lot. They probably should shoot it more. But that they play that old-school Tom Thibodeau basketball, and it's bothersome for teams. But you're right, second round right now to be Philadelphia. Obviously, I like Philly in that. And then if Brooklyn somehow gets that top seed, you're meeting Brooklyn in the second round. They would, you know, try to beat up the Nets, but the Nets just have too much talent. So I'm with you. It's been a great story. And if they can get to the second round of the playoffs, then I think that's great for New York.
Yeah. So for years, I was critical of Cam Newton and people ripped me. But I said, if he was on the open market, what's he worth? Well, we found out, nothing. League minimum, New England was the only team that wanted him. Same with Trubisky. Bears, I love Trubisky. Open market, he's a backup. Russell Westbrook. If he was on the open market today, Suns don't want him, Jazz don't want him, Denver doesn't want him, Brooklyn doesn't want him. Yeah, I mean, he set a bunch of records last night. I just don't buy. If he was on the open market tomorrow, none of the good teams would want him. So how am I supposed to value him as the second best point guard ever after Magic, according to his coach?
Well, first of all, don't ever put Mitch Trubisky's name in the same sentence as Russell Westbrook. All right. Cam, I can get with. All right, the old Cam, the MVP, they go to the Super Bowl. I can get with that. We know the injuries have depleted him. But look, Westbrook, I'm with you in that. First of all, Scottie Brooks is out of his mind. All right. He should have his head checked for saying he's the second best point guard of all time. I even have trouble. Where do you put Westbrook? Is he a point guard? Is he a two guard? You know what he is, Colin? He's a spectacle. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean it in a completely positive way. He is a spectacle. And I would argue he's one of the top five most athletic players the game has ever seen. Not in this order. LeBron, Wilt, Jordan, right? Yeah. Iverson, maybe, and Russell. Like, what he does, it is tremendous. These four seasons of averaging a triple-double, it is unbelievable. And he is like Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson was iconic. He was tremendous. But I don't know that I would have wanted Allen Iverson on my team as a coach or a player. Right. I mean, he played with Carmelo in his prime. They never won. They didn't win a playoff series. He played with Chris Webber. Chris Webber averaged 20-10 the year he played with Iverson. Andre Iguodala was there, and they didn't even make the playoffs. Iverson was 33-8 that year. They didn't make the playoffs. Iverson and Westbrook are just great individual phenoms. That's what they are. You're going to have trouble winning with them. Now, in fairness to Russ, he's played with great players, but he has won, you know, 11 playoff series, and he's been to a finals. Yeah. And he's been to conference finals. Iverson only won 6 playoff series. And other than the year he went to the finals in 01, he didn't win a lot, never got past the second round. But if you gave Westbrook a Larry Brown coach like Iverson had that year, and you just built a team around Westbrook's unique skills, grinders, rebounders, defenders, and guys that could shoot the three, it's not out of the realm of possibility you could have had a run like Philadelphia had that year. So they're very similar. He's certainly not the second best point guard of all time. There's a lot of point guards that aren't as good as him that I would rather have had on my team to set things up. But he's a phenomenal individual player, and that's how we're going to look at him. He's not going to win a ring. And even if he does, it's not going to outweigh the 4 years of averaging a triple-double. So we just have to appreciate him for what he is.
That's not bad. That's about the best way I've ever heard it described. It's somewhere like sometimes you go to Thanksgiving dinner and you got that quirky uncle, but he is funny and he's always there for you if you need a ride to the airport. So you just sometimes, not everybody is everything. You just appreciate what people can give you. And I got to run Chris Broussard. Thanks, buddy. That was well done. I like the way he said it. It's a spectacle. There's nothing wrong with that. There's not a lot of substance to a fireworks show, but they're fun. I've gone to a lot of fireworks shows.
Stop and watch the fireworks.
I love fireworks shows.
Of course.
I like blowing stuff up. But I you know, it doesn't mean it's got a ton of anything else. Even when I say nice stuff, I'm always just too cynical with Russell. Hour three next.